Welcome back into 1600 ESPN, Eastern Iowa's home for sports. You know what we're talking about? We're talking about the big Cy-Hawk game coming up tomorrow. Hawkeyes and Cyclones from Kinnick Stadium, 2:30, the kickoff on CBS. We've talked plenty of discussion on both sides for both Iowa and Iowa State. We'll round it out with a little perspective from the Hawkeye side of things. Elliot Clough covers the Hawkeyes for Hawkeye Beacon, part of the Rivals Network, and he's kind enough to take some time here on the Friday before the big game to chat Hawkeye football. Elliot, appreciate the time. How you doing?
I'm great, Spencer. How are you, man?
Good. It's Friday, and we got a big football game coming up here this weekend. Let's look back at last week here before we dive into the Cy-Hawk game to preview the game for our listeners. 40-0, man. A tale of two halves, really. The first half was, I think, more of the same from what Iowa fans have been used to, unfortunately, the last few years. But the second half, hey, it looked a lot better. It looked a lot different. What were your takeaways from that game, and does Iowa finally have an offense, in your opinion?
Yeah, that's the magic question I think everybody wants to know. What I was saying throughout the entire offseason, you know, pre-Tim Lester, post-Tim Lester, is, man, I'll believe it when I see it. And of course, we did see it last week, but of course, we also have to keep in context who it was against. Now, Illinois State is part of one of the better conferences in the FCS, but they're still part of the FCS. So when you're matching up with an FCS program, 99 times out of 100 with an FBS program, you've got better athletes. You've just simply got better personnel than what the FCS can get and nowadays in college football afford. So that's part of the evaluation problem where we're at. Now, I'm not going to say it's going to be fully solved depending on how this game goes against the Cyclones on Saturday, but they are going to be missing those three linebackers in the middle of their defense. So that's going to be a factor. But, man, as far as overall takeaways from that last game, defense still elite. Cade, I mean, we saw it in the spring game, too. He's mobile. Like, it really looks like he isn't dealing with an injury like he was this time last year. I mean, he's still, I think, a little iffy on his throws, throwing off his back foot quite a bit. But once he got settled in, once the offense got moving, man, it was like video game offense, right? 34 points in the second half doesn't just happen. But that, you know, Reese Vanderzee, that freshman from Northwest Iowa, was awesome. Man, that's a huge pickup and really important for the passing game. Luke Lachey was great. I think things are trending in the right direction. I'm a believer in what I've seen so far, if that makes sense. But got to translate it into the Big Ten, got to translate it into this weekend. So still kind of wait and see at this point in time.
Let's talk about Cade, because this is the first look I think Iowa fans have truly seen of him actually fully healthy. We saw him last year, of course, for what, 4.5, 5 games, and he was dealing with the quad injury that he suffered in that Kids Day practice. He's recovered from surgery. I think one of the big questions going into last week was, okay, how is he going to look? And I think in the first half, and I'm sure you probably agree, there was still kind of a ramping up period for him. There was time needed to get his confidence back, on the field and have his, you know, kind of a mental thing of, hey, I can make that throw. I can get hit. I can do this. I can do that. And once he got that momentum rolling, you kind of saw that in the second half, you know, what a healthy Cade McNamara would look like. How much of his finally being healthy is key to this success for what we saw on Saturday afternoon?
Oh, it's huge, Spencer. I mean, healthy and confident, because, man, he's a confident guy, right? Like, you can tell that in all the media availability that we've had. Every time he speaks to us, you can tell he just kind of has that presence to him. But there's a difference between being confident and talking to the media and being confident when you've got pads on and you've got 300-pound linemen running after you, right? And I think the perfect example of his confidence and that first half really being a rust buster was, I think it was late in the third quarter. It might have been the last play of the third quarter when he evaded those two would-be tacklers, what would have been a sack against Illinois State. It's like, keeps his balance, runs around a couple more defenders, and just puts it on the money to Zach Ortworth over the shoulder. I mean, I tweeted out, I said, Cade Mahomes? Like, there is no way in hell that play would have happened last year. And he's confident not only in his health, but clearly confident in what he's capable of on the football field too. Because, like, I mean, you said it, like, he was probably like 60% of what he was or of what he could be last year with those injuries. And now being back at 100%, he didn't even have to go to the training room on Sunday for rehab or recovery or anything like that. And I mean, after what was an abysmal first half, I mean, I'm sure you were in the same boat as I was, Spencer. Here we go again. Mm-hmm. Turns around in the second half, 13 of 14, 177 yards and 3 touchdowns. And I'm sure you're planning on referencing it too, or at least you've referenced it at some point this week, 3 touchdowns to receivers, which is either more or the exact same amount that has happened in the entirety of the last 2 seasons. Passing touchdowns to receivers, the 2 of them to Reese Mandersey, of course, like I mentioned. But Cade, it's like he's a completely different quarterback this time around. And you know, it's good to see. Good for him after all the stuff he's been through the last 2 years with the injuries. I'm sure he's gone through mental ups and downs. And to see what he was able to do, man, that was really good for Iowa fans to see. And again, you know, it's more so about what they do in the Big Ten, what they do tomorrow. But a good start to the 2024 season.
You mentioned Reese Vanderzee, and I'll toss in Jacob Gill with so many questions surrounding the receiving group. Those two guys obviously came up big against Illinois State, but like you just said, and you've said a couple times now, we got to see it again here against Iowa State. We got to see it coming up against Minnesota in a couple weeks and throughout the rest of the Big Ten schedule. But I was intrigued about Gill. He didn't play a ton at Northwestern, but he is a junior class-wise, so he does have kind of that upperclassman, I guess you could say, status or experience, and he really showed his stuff. And then, of course, you got to look at Reese Vanderzee, true freshman coming in, 2 touchdowns at his debut. That's incredible. And for a receiver room that, Elliot, you know, is, boy, decimated by A, poor play or lack of production, B, just constant transfers in and out, loss of eligibility, of course, with Nico Ragaini finally exhausting his eligibility. They needed guys to step in, and if they can continue, Vanderzee and Gill and the others in that room can continue what we saw, that's huge for the Iowa offense, too.
Oh, yeah, and don't forget they get Caleb Brown back this week, too.
Yeah.
So, Reese Vanderzee, and bringing in and having a guy like Reese who can play right away is big, because that room, maybe other than Dayton Howard and maybe Jerry at Bowie, was devoid of X receivers. And you get a freshman who can come in and be that go up and get a guy, that deep ball guy that, you know, screw it, he's down there somewhere, receiver, is huge, because you've got a bunch of these small guys who can make plays in space. A slot receiver like Gill, who had that touchdown catch, which, again, was an awesome throw by Cade. He more or less threw him open in double coverage. And Gill also had a couple catches. I'm sure you remember these too, Spencer, where he just got popped. Like, he caught, I think they were just comeback routes, and caught him and just got leveled by an Illinois State receiver, and he held on. And this receiving core has had so many issues with drops, especially last season, and we didn't really see that on Saturday against Illinois State. And now, like I said, you get Caleb Brown back, a guy you can trust to get the ball and make plays in space. And that's just another level, another dynamic that you add to this group. And Jarrett Bowie still hasn't had his first catch. He had that one rocket of a ball go through his hands. I think that was the only incompletion by Cade last week. So that's another factor you bring back. But Gill and Vanderzee, definitely the stars of last week. I'm intrigued to see if they can keep it going. And as far as Gill and, you know, the lack of production at Northwestern, man, I just really think he needed an opportunity at a place like Iowa that was kind of devoid of some depth, of some experience. And from what I've been told behind the scenes, man, he's been really big for the growth of the group, too, just as a veteran presence, a guy who's been there, done that in the Big Ten. You know, maybe not had the production, but been around programs at the highest level, won some games. So, he's been integral to what they want to do. And we can't forget Caden Wiegen either, who's returning punts and kicks. And he's another guy that you can get the ball to in space and make a play, because he's got some serious speed. So,
Elliot Clough from Hawkeye Beacon, part of the Rivals Network, joining me here on 1600 ESPN. Let's transition from last week to this week, but I'll kind of work in last week's game as we preview the Cy-Hawk game coming up tomorrow. Was there anything that you were hoping to see or expecting to see in game one that you didn't see from Iowa, either on offense or defense or even special teams, that you'd like to see this week against Iowa State?
Well, I think the number one thing, folks, and, you know, maybe flipping your question a little bit and saying we did see, but maybe we didn't want to see, was all the penalties that Iowa stacked up this last week. And you can't continue to do that into conference play and then playing against one of the better teams in the Big 12 this week. And obviously, it's the first game of the season, right? Like, stuff like that's going to happen inevitably. But what you want to see this week is things like that fall to the wayside. Like, there were a couple plays. I think one was on Gill. I think one was on either Luke Lachey or Addison Ostrenga. I'm not remembering correctly here. But the one thing that we've heard a lot about going into the season is pre-snap motion, right? With the new Iowa offense, 6% of plays had pre-snap motion last year, which is awful. And I went ahead and tracked, and 60% of the plays last Saturday had pre-snap motion. But when you're running sideways in pre-snap motion, you can't turn and face forward prior to the snap. And I think there were two separate plays that were called back because one was on Gill, one was on Lachey or Addison Ostrenga because they were moving forward in that pre-snap motion. One of them was that 20-yard run by Cade, I think, in the second quarter. So you want to see some of those things start to disappear, right? You want to see that – I mentioned the rust busting for the offense. You want to see some of that continue to move to the side as you move forward. And one thing that I'm intrigued about going into this game that maybe we didn't see last week was more of that running back by committee sort of situation. LeSean Williams played. He didn't have any, you know, big sort of gains or anything like that. I think he only had a few carries, but to see Kamari Moulton, Caleb Johnson, who missed the first half, and LeSean really share the duties in the backfield, I think that's going to be huge, given the context, too, of Iowa State missing those linebackers. Maybe Jazz Patterson getting in there a little bit, too. Of course, he had a really big run and a touchdown against the Cyclones last year. So that's something I'm looking forward to, and I think it's going to make things easier on the offense as a whole, because Caleb was awesome in that second half last week, but Kamari just couldn't get going in that first half either, because Cade was struggling. So a little bit more of a balanced offense for the entirety of the game, I think is what I'm looking at this weekend for the Hawkeyes.
Both teams coming off wins. Iowa State only 21-3 over North Dakota last week. It was a comfortable win for them. I watched a good chunk of that game, and it was never really in doubt, but they gave up a fair share of rushing yards to the Fighting Hawks. Of course, Iowa had the big second half, as we alluded to. What type of game do you think we're going to see tomorrow inside Kinnick Stadium? Because this is one, like, you can't even really say, oh, well, because this happened in week one, this is sure to happen in week two. You can't say that for really any game or any team or any rivalry, obviously. But for this rivalry especially, Iowa and Iowa State, week one is never usually an indicator of what happens in week two when these two teams meet up. You've been diving into the matchups. You've been listening to both sides of, you know, kind of the discussion this week. What do you think we see tomorrow inside Kinnick Stadium?
Man, Spencer, that's a really good question. And you mentioned the context of the rivalry, too. I mean, man, we can say one thing's going to happen. We can feel confident something's going to happen. And then with this rivalry, things can go sideways and go very differently really quick. I mean, just a few years ago with Nate Stanley at quarterback, it was a shootout, right? And now a couple seasons ago, it was 10-7 in Kinnick Stadium. It seemed like nobody wanted to win. And then last year, Iowa gets out to this lead and holds on to the very end. So, man, I think both teams are going to go at it, but go at it in different ways, especially offensively. I think Iowa is going to want to pound the rock for a variety of reasons. I mentioned the stable of running backs that they've got, but also the linebacker injuries. Caleb Bacon not going to be there. They're more or less the leader of their defense. And for Iowa State, you've got to be willing to put the ball in the air. Maybe not, you know, throw it deep, because that's going to have Iowa licking their chops. Quinn Schulte and Xavier Wampa at the back end of that defense. Of course, Jamari Harris getting his first pick of the season last game. But I think you got to be willing to put the ball in the air. You got to trust your redshirt sophomore quarterback, Rocco, who has really emerged in the Big 12 as one of the better quarterbacks in that conference, especially last year. And you got to trust your receivers, Jaden Higgins, and Jalen Noel, two of the best receivers in the Big 12 and maybe the country too. Those are NFL guys. So I think it's going to be a game where Iowa wants to really hold on to the football and punish that second level of that defense and make the third level of the defense, the safeties, come up and then, you know, maybe beat them over the top. So I think it's going to be a very different attack for both sides of the football. And, you know, for that reason, it's hard for me to not fall back on Iowa's defense and say, well, they're going to be one of the best in the country again. And they might be the reason that Iowa wins this football game.
Elliot, what should folks be looking for from you and the guys over at Hawkeye Beacon ahead of game time tomorrow?
Yeah, so, well, tonight, actually, I'm in Waterloo out to watch 2026 commit offensive tackle, three-star Carson Nielsen, who's one of the top offensive linemen in the Midwest. So I'm going to watch him. That'll be content on my Twitter and on our premium page. But we've also got a preview podcast with Bill Seals from Cyclone Report, part of the Rivals Network. We've got previews for visitors who are going to be there, two official visitors for men's basketball. Winters Grady, who's a top 50 recruit in the country, is one of them. That's going to be huge for Iowa basketball. Some of the top priority targets in 2026 and 2027 for Iowa football as well. A name you'll probably recognize, Spencer, Jax DeJean is one of the big names that will be their younger brother of Cooper. And we've got the whole list of other really, really high priority targets for the Hawkeyes on our page. And of course, all the other stuff, we're going to have stuff from behind the scenes about the rivalry and all the recruiting that's going to be going on this weekend. So tons of stuff there on Hawkeye Beacon and iowa.rivals.com.
Elliot, always appreciate the time. Thanks. Have a great weekend.
Spencer, thanks, man.